To form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Fort Collins Radiator Shop reminds us often child abuse results from parental stress or parental substance abuse. Help put an end to this tragedy now. Report what you know to your local authorities. This message from Fort Collins Radiator Shop, 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, they have 47 years of experience, family owned and operated. Call 970-482-6783. That's 482-6783. On the air, because they care.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
And here, and just hearing the news, and basically they were talking about this spate of murders there in Chicago, and they're suddenly, but how can that be? Chicago has some of the most restrictive gun laws in the entire country, and yet Chicago has more violence, the most violent city in the nation, even more violent than Los Angeles and New York City, which both have strict gun laws, and the thing is that gun laws are not going to solve the problem. And in a similar manner, why today we're talking about Obamacare. And what's wrong with the government making sure that everyone has health insurance? I mean, what's wrong with health insurance? What's wrong with helping people through insurance policies? Well, what's wrong with it is when government gets involved in the practice of medicine, things go from bad to worse, just like when government gets involved with regulating guns, you get more violence. So when government gets involved with providing health care, things go from bad to worse. When I entered medical practice 53 years ago, my charge for an office visit was $4 a visit. My consultation, I was a highly trained specialist, $25 for consultation. Today, that consultation would be $500, and the office visit would be close to $100. And it's all because government got involved. I saw what happened when government got involved in medicine. When I went into practice, nobody in America couldn't get medical care. We had county hospitals and clinics in every community in this country. And certainly if you couldn't afford medical care, you got it for nothing. If you could afford it, or you had a home, they put a lien on your home when you died. The money was taken to pay for the health care the community had paid for, but nobody went without medical care. And today we're facing a calamity with Obamacare. With us this morning is Maria Sanchez. And Maria's got does talk radio as I do. She has her own programs, but she wants to get the information out about Obamacare. And good morning, Maria.
Good morning. Thank you so much for the opportunity to have a conversation with you. Appreciate the time.
Well, I want you to tell us your view. I mean, what's wrong with Obamacare? What's wrong with helping people get health care?
Well, it's interesting because if you take the politics out of it, like you said, what's wrong with everybody having health insurance? And I would say the answer is nothing's wrong. It's probably to our highest good as a country. Unfortunately, politics is involved, so I think that's where the problems start. And in terms of an overview on what And, of course, it's referred to as the Patient Protection Act, the Affordable Care Act, or as people affectionately are calling it, Obamacare. There's all kinds of modalities that are available. There's all kinds of choices. And it doesn't seem to be stigmatizing anybody anymore, i.e. in terms of pre-existing conditions, although smoking, weight, and age will affect the cost of your premiums. So there's all kinds of variables out there. The health insurance marketplaces are opening up on October 1st, and enrollment will continue until March 31st of next year. And you've got to purchase health insurance during this open enrollment period in order to obtain the coverage in 2014, unless you don't purchase it, and then you're going to be penalized. And then there's all other kinds of caveats. So I don't know how detailed you want to get. Obviously, you have an international audience, so each state is going to be different based on their health insurance exchanges or health insurance marketplaces. You'll hear both of those words, and they basically are referring to the same thing.
Well, explain to our listeners what this is all about, how this is going to change the practice of medicine, what part government will pay. We want to know what you have found as you've studied Obamacare. I mean, health insurance is wonderful, you know. People pay the health insurance, and they get medical care. They may have a deductible. They may not. Some policies are wonderful. They pay everything, but they're terribly expensive. How does this system work? And, Sydney, what happens when as far as the various insurance companies, what will they pay? And, of course, what's wrong with making people get health insurance? After all, isn't health insurance good for them?
Health insurance is good for them. And I think one of the things that is interesting about that is that what happens with people who don't have health insurance, that's where the system gets broken, because then it's an inordinate expense that's being leveraged upon the rest of us. And I think that's what we want to take out of the equation. They're going to the emergency rooms because that's the only alternative that they have. So there's an inordinate expense for that because they're not getting preventive care. They're getting sick care. And then it's foisted upon us because they don't have the funds to pay for their services, and we're having to pay for that. So in theory, if we have an insured population, one, we should have a better quality of life because preventative care is covered. And two, we should have a better quality of life because we're not paying for other people's mistakes, errors, negligence. That's a broad, you know, again, I'm trying to be broad brush with my overview because every state is going to have a different opportunity available for their constituents. But there is a lot of commonality, starting with the fact that it's available October 1st. Now, you can start shopping. You can start entering your information. You can start answering the questionnaires. The other thing about the health insurance exchanges is you need to go through a health insurance exchange if you are going to be getting subsidies. And that's where the government comes in. Because if your household income is such that it's 9.5% of your adjustable gross household income, the federal government will pay the difference between what the premium actually is and what they deem you can afford.
But then doesn't the coverage vary with the different insurance policy you take?
Yes. So that's the other reason you need to go to an exchange. And my personal recommendation is that you should get an agent because, at least in California where I'm based, the agents are the only ones that can legally compare. Now, you can go onto websites, and the one that I'm going to recommend for everyone to look at first is called healthcare.gov. That asks you about 6 to 8 questions, and it tells you where you're going to land, tells you what your premiums are going to be. It will give you a comparison of policies, and it gives you a broad overview. If your state happens to have a health insurance exchange, it will automatically take you to your state's exchange. So you're getting the information that you need for where you live.
Hold on. We'll be back in just a moment here with Maria Sanchez talking about Obamacare.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Well, hard to stand here, our guest Maria Sanchez. Well, Maria, basically we have a system today where you can buy health insurance. How is this health insurance going to differ under Obamacare, basically? Of course, they've said everybody has to buy insurance. If you don't buy it, we're going to fine you. Certainly, employers with more than 50 employees are going to have to provide the insurance for their employees. Now, basically, but how is this insurance differ in cost from what we've always had, and that is offering health insurance? Why is it the federal government being involved in insurance, requiring health insurance, is going to change how insurance provides for the people?
Actually, there is not going to be a lot of difference in how the insurance is provided, and you'll be able to see the various plans and companies that are involved in your state, because not every company chose to be part of an exchange. Because, first of all, Stan, there are four exchanges. There's a state-based exchange. There's a federal-based exchange, which I believe has been put off until January 2015. As you know, this is still a fluid situation. There's a federal-state combination, and then there's states who don't know what they're doing, and the federal government's going to step in and provide an exchange. So the exchanges are where you're going to get the information, and the exchanges are how you're going to find out whether or not you're going to get subsidized and or tax credits. So that's different. The coverage itself is not really that different, except for the federal government is mandating that there are 10 essential health benefits required for all the plans that are sold on the exchange. So no matter which plan you buy, and there are four tiers of those plans, they all have to include that as a minimum. And do you want me to go through what those 10 requirements?
Yes, I think this is so vitally important. I think people have to understand that this is going to drive up the cost of health care. It's going to drive up the cost of health care because anybody with pre-existing conditions can come into these programs. My son has pre-existing program problems, and as a result, he has to pay more for his health insurance than he would if he didn't have those. But now under this new program, well, of course, everybody can come in. They can be on death's door and requiring $50,000 a month for health care. They go out and buy health insurance. This changes everything as far as the structure of health is concerned. And certainly many of these things mandated were not mandated before. But give our listeners the details as to why federal involvement in providing health care is going to really change the structure of health care insurance. Please go ahead, Maria. I think people want details.
Okay, so the 10 essential health benefits required for all the plans must cover ambulatory patient services, emergency services, hospitalization, maternity and newborn care, mental health and substance use disorder services, including behavioral health treatment, prescription drugs, rehabilitative and rehabilitative services and devices, laboratory services, preventative and wellness services, and chronic disease management, to your case, and pediatric services, including oral and vision care.
Well, that doesn't sound, those things don't sound bad. What's wrong with those?
There's nothing wrong. And honestly, I have four children, and I pay for my own insurance privately because I'm an entrepreneur, so I'm not covered by any company. I've been comparing rates. What I'm paying now, I have Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield, and what's going to be available through Obamacare is going to be pretty similar. I'm not going to qualify for any subsidies or tax credits. But what is going to happen is, in theory, because we're going to have more people insured, the pool of premiums is going to be bigger to offset those people who are the exception, who do have chronic issues or who do have pre-existing conditions. So I'm prefacing this by saying in theory, because I don't know what reality is going to be, because maybe only the sickest and the most debilitating people are going to apply, and the robust, healthy ones are going to say, I'll pay the penalty, I'm not going to enroll.
Because the thought, really, that this could very well double in many instances or dramatically increase other premiums that people are going to pay, because, as you say, Sydney, the people with chronic illness who couldn't get insurance before are going to be applying, and today, why, of course, so we'll have this tremendous influx, and as you say, healthy people will say, shucks, I'll pay the $1,000 a month or $1,000 a year, because I don't want to have to be putting out, you know, $1,000 a month or $2,000 a month for health insurance. Isn't the fear that in fact, already many of the insurance policy companies are dropping out because they know this is going to drive up the cost of insurance. Isn't that one of the big problems?
It is a potential big problem. And we really won't know. I suggest, Dan, that we won't know until probably 2015 whether or not, because once you enroll, you have to stay with that company for a year. So once everybody makes their decision in the next 2 to 4 months, then we're committed to that. And that's where the playing field is going to equal out. The other thing is that if your household income fluctuates, your subsidies and tax credits will also change. So just because you had less income and got more and you were getting subsidized, you're going to have to pay that back later, which I think is fair. Because if as circumstances change, and the reverse would be true too, if you were making more and then you make less, then your premiums are going to change. So
what is this going to do to industry? What is this going to do to businesses who are required under law to provide health care if they have more than 50 employees? What is that impact is that going to have?
In theory, most large employers already provide coverage to their workers that meets the law's new requirements. 55% of Americans have employment-based insurance, and that's as of 2011, which is the last statistics that are available. And among the employed population between 18 and 64, over two-thirds had insurance through their employer. So it's really, I don't see it changing that scene at all.
Except why then are employers concerned about it? I mean, certainly, why are they cutting back, certainly? And isn't it because they fear that the prices of health care insurance, they know the price of health care insurance is going up, and a lot of people are cutting back so that basically their employees don't work more than 30 hours
yes.
a month, a week. Obviously, they know something that we're not being told about the cost of these insurance policies.
That is probably the market that is the most skittish, is those folks that employ people at 30 hours or less a week, because they're the most concerned with what that cost is going to be. Unfortunately, there are so many rumors out there that there's a knee-jerk reaction to things that are not necessarily the truth. Because it's all conjecture. Because you really, I mean, they know what their premiums are because they've had to post them as of October 1st. But it is a crapshoot because they're basing it on guessing who's going to apply and who's going to, you know, how big their household is, how much their income is, and what is the health situation of the individuals. I do like it, though, that smoking, weight, and age still affect the cost of the coverage, because those are factors that do affect your health. So,
well, isn't it true that many insurance companies are just not going into this? They're just saying, we're not going to get involved in this because we're not going to be able to make a profit. And so some of the companies are actually dropping out and just not providing health insurance. I mean, in those, I'm talking about health insurance companies.
Right. Some are choosing not to participate in the exchange, which they have the right to. I just attended an event Friday morning that our state senator hosted about this. So my information is almost as current as possible. And they were showing HMOs and PPOs, and again, this is for the state of California, that are names that you know. Kaiser Permanente, Blue Cross, Blue Shield. So at least here in California, we've got name brands. It's not some fly-by-night that just started in business. So I think the best thing...
What do we find out? What is Blue Cross? What is Kaiser Permanente? What are these companies going to do as far as their premium costs?
Again, it all depends on household income and your zip code and how many people are in your home and your ages. And so those variables factor in. And then one thing that we haven't talked yet about, Stan, is the tiers, because that affects the cost of your premiums as well. Because there are the four tiers. They call them the metal tiers, and that's the bronze, the silver, the gold, and the platinum.
So what does that mean?
Okay. And this is based on actuarial values, which is, I don't want to get too technical here, but let's start with the bronze. Bronze is 60% of the premium, and the costs are responsible for, the government's responsible, let's say. 40% is for what the patient is, out of pocket. So there's also things like premiums, deductibles, out-of-pocket expenses, co-payments, and co-insurance. That all adds up. And then there's also caps. I hope this isn't too confusing, but there are health plans where they cap the maximum out-of-pocket costs, which includes the co-pays, the co-insurance, and the deductibles. So then there's the silver plan, which they use as the basic, that everyone should have a silver plan in general. That's 70%. The cost is covered by the insurance, 30% is out of pocket. There's the gold plan, which is 80%, and again, 20% would be responsible by the patient, the policyholder, and then platinum, which is 10% is paid by the insured. Then there's also a catastrophic plan, which is available for folks under 30 years of age, which will not give any penalties for them not getting a health insurance policy, but if and when they're hospitalized, it kicks in. So those are the four plans, and the four tiers, I should say. And then that also affects how much your coverage costs, obviously, because if you're participating in more of the cost of your health care, then your premium is going to be less.
Well, the costs are ridiculous. I mean, I'll never – when I started medical practice, I mean, it was $50. You got to the hospital, and that was covered everything. Recently, a couple of years ago, I went to the hospital for a minor surgical procedure. Didn't even get a meal. I had an operation on my shoulder cost $14,000. I had, when I had my heart surgery. Why the heart surgeon charged $11,000 for the heart surgery? Now, probably he only got maybe $1,500, $2,000 from government, but he has to jack up the fee so that he can get the minimal amount he would have gotten under the old system. But then, of course, everybody else has to pay the ridiculous price because government requires him, if they're going to charge the federal government $11,000 to get $2,000, he has to charge everybody else $11,000. That's what the hospitals are doing. And, of course, you get one of these ridiculous bills, you go into the hospital and complain, they'll cut the bill. Well, it is because the government is involved in the billing of Medicare and Medicaid that we have all the problems, and nobody wants to say that.
Well,
it's created a monster here that nobody can afford, and it's driving the health care insurance up, and this new policy is only going to aggravate it when the policies are required to take in people who have pre-existing conditions, maybe on death's door, maybe requiring $50,000 a month for medical care, for these overly expensive drugs. Incidentally, they're overly expensive because of government requirements. And it is government involvement in the delivery of health care, in my estimation, as a physician, that's created the problem. What are your thoughts?
You know, honestly, I feel like it's here, and what are we going to do about it? Because all the machinations that went on since 2010 haven't gotten us anywhere closer to not having it be involved, although with what went on in the House on Saturday, it's going to come to the Senate this week probably. So maybe it will change at the last minute. I guess, Dan, I'm one of those pragmatic people that it is what it is, and I'm going to learn the best that I can and make the best decision under the circumstances as they exist. I don't like being told what to do. As I said, I've been paying for my own coverage and that of my family forever. So I'm not one of the people that's really affected by this, but I am affected by it, of course, because the premiums that I'm going to be paying are going to be affected by the pool that's coming in.
Do we have any idea what these insurance policies are going to cost? Would you be able to get the policy as you have before? Will the cost of your insurance be going up? We'll be back in a moment with Maria Sanchez.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Jensen Arms says if you only have one life to live, why not get the most of it? There's no need to make yourself sick, dependent, and useless. Yet so many do this to themselves each day by using drugs. Let's give life a chance. Drugs are never the answer. This message is sponsored by Jensen Arms, where they're working proudly with this radio station to bring you this important message. That's Jensen Arms, who says keep your radio tuned right here, KHNC 1360 AM. Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com. Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21.
at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning is Sunia Zamperia Sanchez. We're talking about Obamacare. Well, before we go on, we do have a caller, but I wanted to get one thing. What about the so-called death panels? What about the federal government beginning to tell doctors how they will treat their patients? What is this all about?
You know, there have not been so many details revealed about that. I vetted something out late last week on my program, which you mentioned, thank you, the Maria Sanchez Show. I have a medical correspondent who is a physician and an attorney, and it came to my information that when you go to see a physician, they have the right to ask you about your sexual life. They can ask you about partners and practices. And I ran it by him, and he said, yes, that's true. You don't have to necessarily say the truth. So that's the kind of troubling, slippery slope that we're talking about. If I go to a dermatologist and I get my skin examined, what does she need to know about my sexual practices? But apparently there's surveys and questionnaires that they have, and that the more answers they get, the more reimbursement they get, which gives the incentive for them to ask the questions.
But what about certainly dictating what the doctor will do? Let's imagine we have somebody who's 90 years old, 85 years old, and needs a heart transplant. Can government suggest that maybe people are at a certain age would not get specific types of treatment? Mm-hmm. How does the government control of healthcare influence what the doctor is allowed to do?
I have not heard about that, honestly, Stan. So I don't know if that's a dark secret, or I don't know if they have had an ethics panel that they're going to have a code of honor with, like they have had in the past. My father's 84 years old, and he had open heart surgery last year, so I know that well. It's like, you know, he had insurance, and they went ahead and did it. So that's a fear of mine, too, is that when are we expendable? When are we disposable? When have we exhausted our time here on this planet, according to whom?
And increasingly, ladies and gentlemen, boy, I'm Chrissy, they'll often say, well, they're going to die anyway, you know, and basically this sort of thing is going on in the hospitals. I've attended meetings where they talked about letting the patients die because they'd gotten to a certain age. And I'll never forget getting up at one of the meetings and saying, I mean, I just don't believe what you're saying. How can you possibly be advocating what you're advocating? And nobody else would get up and talk about it as they were talking about letting the patients die because they were going to have to die sooner or later. They might as well die now. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what the government is actually pushing. Whether you want to hear about it or not, it's true, and it's going on in our hospitals today. And we are actively letting patients die here, just exactly as they do in England and other countries with socialized medicine, because it costs too much to keep them alive. Well, we have Ann calling in. Ann, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes. I'd like to say that today and tomorrow, if everybody would call their senator and say, do not vote for cloture, it will help to stop Obamacare, because it was, you know, voted in the House, and we were successful in having the solid Republican support against funding Obamacare. This is, Mark said, 170-some years ago, that if you control the medical care, and, you know, the Muslims pay nothing for this care, and the non-medical people decide whether you live or die after you're 65 or something like that, this is the complete worst that could happen. And a Dr. Jill Vecchio, D as in Victor, E, C, C as in cat, H as in help, I, O, if you go Google her name, then you can you can learn on her YouTube huge information about the devastation of healthcare. This is about destroying and taking over 25% of our economy by the communists. This is the worst.
Okay. Well, and, thank you so
okay,
very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate your remarks.
Yeah, call Maria, for no cloture.
Okay, no cloture. And Maria, would you like to get any information out about your radio program, about your work?
Thank you, Stan. You can see everything that we do on our program at mariasanchezshow.com. We have a daily program, weekdays, And our topics are all over the map. It's very eclectic. It's from the collapse of the honeybee population to genetically modified organisms to defending animals internationally. So we have a lot of fun in that regard. One thing that I would really want to caution your listeners, Stan, and we haven't gotten into it, is there, as with anything, there are plenty of opportunists out there that are going to try and scam people. And the information that you share with an exchange about your household income and about your Social Security number, you need to make sure that you're on a secure website and that you chose to go there, not that you were sent there. So, as you can imagine, people are vulnerable, they're ignorant, they are uninformed, and they think it looks official, but if you give all that information to the wrong parties, then you're in a whole lot of trouble.
And, of course, everything is aimed at collecting information on us. And they're going to use the suddenly your doctor to gain information on your sexual activity. What possible business is it the doctor's? Well, nothing. He's going to write it down. And all of those records, if you look at what it says, these records are probably, we have a privacy policy, and this privacy policy, if you read it, means we turn everything over to the government. Why do they want that? Because they have dossiers, ladies and gentlemen, on everybody in this country. And if you don't believe it, well, you're incredibly naive. And I've even seen my FBI dossier, dozens of pages, all blocked out in the name of national security, collecting information on everything I've done for years. But they had all the clippings. Anytime I gave a talk, and one time I used to talk all over the country, and they had all the clippings. That was the one thing they didn't block out. All the clippings from all of the newspapers in every community I spoke. Ladies and gentlemen, if they do that on me, they're doing it on you as well. Don't be surprised, and especially when the doctor is going to be asking you all sorts of intrusive questions. And he's required to do this. And don't you tell him unless you want everybody to know every intimate detail of your life. And, Maria, why are they doing this sort of thing? Why would they be asking you about, if you go to the doctor, for your skin care, all about your sexual activity? Is anybody asking these questions?
I just got wind of it late last week, so that was news to me. And I'm not one that is a whole conspiracy theory person, but I do like to check things out because it is curious to me. So I am going to dig deeper into that to find out what is the incentive. As I mentioned earlier, it is that you are subsidized more for what you do with the more information you turn in. But your question is a good one, Stan. Who wants to know that, and where is it going, and why?
Well, I think that's a question that everybody should be asking. Well, if you have a question for Maria, my telephone number is 877-254-7524. 877-254-7524. How is the doctor's private practice of medicine going to be influenced by the government's increasing intrusion into healthcare delivery? How is your access or your family's access to healthcare or your parents' access to healthcare going to be influenced by these government policies? And we'll get to that as soon as we get back.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear Up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
With winter approaching, let's all keep an extra special eye out for our senior citizens. Check on them on a regular basis, especially when the weather is cold. Make sure they have what they need. Someday we'll all be in that position, and wouldn't you like to have someone watch out for you? That's from Brush Housing Authority, reminding listeners for housing programs, call 970-845-5046. That's 970-845-5046. Brush Housing Authority, wishing everyone a great and safe fall and upcoming winter season.
Hi, I'm Double A Aaron at Ehrlich Toyota on Highway 34 and 47th Avenue in Greeley. We offer a great selection of new and used vehicles at very competitive prices. I wanted to support the unique programming on this very important radio station and convince the dealership to help me. Give me a shot at earning your business when considering your next vehicle. I will treat you fairly and give you the respect I would want. Call me, Double A Aaron, at Ehrlich Toyota at 970-339-3900. That's
970-339-3900. Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Maria Sanchez. And certainly, Maria, tell us your concerns about this, because basically, we talk about what's happening. The government's just going to require that people get health care. But isn't this going to be even more government intrusion into health care delivery and health care costs?
Yes. And I'm for less government. So I'm just rolling with the punches because, as I said, I've been doing my own thing and being a contributing member of society for decades. So I don't really care for people telling me what to do and how to do it. The reason I believe that it was created in the first place was to take care of the folks that are derelict and negligent and are rolling the dice and not taking care of their health care, so that those costs have become our costs, as we discussed earlier in our conversation. So since over half of the folks in the country have insurance based on their employer, and younger people, two-thirds of that have insurance based through their employment, we're really talking probably more about the low income. As you mentioned with your son, pre-existing condition, indigent type of people that are going to be coming into the pool, and that is good for them and hopefully won't be catastrophic for us, the rest of us. But we, as I said, we won't know until people start applying. I mean, nobody knows, because you can't even do it yet. But everyone, I'm glad you're having this program now, Stan, because the information is available and the rates are available now. So people should be getting it together with what they're doing, so that when they do go online or they do meet with their agent, that they have an idea of what it is that they're going to be charged. Because you need things like last year's tax information, your projected incomes for this year, 2013, medical history in the smoking, weight, and age, social security numbers, employer and income information, W-2 forms, that sort of thing, policy numbers for any current health insurance plans, a completed employer coverage tool, and it goes on and on and on. So all of these tools are available now. So I suggest that your listeners start getting ready and start with their knowledge gathering and their information gathering so that they can make the best right decisions for themselves. As I mentioned earlier, whatever plan, policy, and company you choose, that's a one-year commitment. So if you didn't do your due diligence and you didn't realize that you were going to have these huge deductibles, because we talk about the four tiers, the bronze plan has a $5,000 deductible. The silver plan has a $2,000 deductible. The gold and the platinum don't have deductibles. The copays go from $60 down to $20, but the premiums, of course, are reflective of that. The less you have to pay out of pocket, the more you pay for your premium. So those are not easy decisions to make, and those take time. So
well,
I suggest that everybody get going.
The problem we have, certainly as you insurance companies may come up with a rate schedule this year, but then what about next year? What about the year after that? What is it going to cost? I mean, when the federal government brought in Medicare, they said it was going to cost $9 billion by the year 1990. Came in, what, 1965? They said, look, it's going to cost $9 billion by the year 1990. We can afford $9 billion to take care of the elderly. Well, it costs $90 billion. cost 10 times what they said it was going to cost? Can we really depend upon everything? I mean, how can the federal government keep putting out money? We're having to borrow $1 trillion a year today. We're having to borrow $1 trillion a year today to provide all these wonderful benefits we can. How long can we continue doing that?
Well, isn't the same true with Social Security? I mean, I knew when I was getting in it at the age of 16 that it wasn't going to be there for me, and it probably won't be there for me. I mean, we may want to take care of everybody, but the truth is we can't. So, I see this as just another one of those social programs that, in theory, it has good intentions, but the reality is another matter. My health insurance went up 23% from last year to this year, privately. As I mentioned, I have Anthem, Blue Cross, Blue Shield. There's nothing I could do about that. And that's a policy that I'm paying for. Now, with Obamacare, they say any premium that adjustment that's more than 10%, they have to justify why they're going to raise the premium more than that.
And ladies and gentlemen, we're borrowing $1 trillion a year at the present time. And basically, they tell you, things are better this year because it's only $670 billion, something like that, deficit. That is because they haven't added in the deficits for the last 3 months. And so basically, it's all a lie. Go back and read Cloward and Piven. Cloward and Piven writing, certainly in the 1960s, two communists who said, we will destroy America from within by creating massive debts. We'll just keep spending and spending until the whole system collapses. Maria, could that really happen? I mean, they're running up a debt of $1 trillion a year, and we have to pay interest on that. Could this eventually, debt, could it destroy our nation?
I just had this conversation last night with an 84-year-old friend of mine, and he served in the Korean War like my dad did, and he said, we have all the symptoms of collapse, just like Rome, just like Greece, just like the United Kingdom, just like France, just like Spain. We've got it all.
And I think, ladies and gentlemen, you must understand there really are people out there who hate America. And as much as bad as George Bush was, he ran up a debt of $5 trillion in, or $6 trillion in, $5 trillion actually in 8 years. Obama runs up a debt of that much debt in 4 years. And Obama, where is Obama's loyalty? He knows where this is going to lead. And it's going to lead, in my estimation, to the collapse of our society. The enemy is not over there in the Middle East. In fact, we're funding al-Qaeda. We're fighting al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, funding al-Qaeda in Syria. And people are not smart enough to say, what's really going on? We focus our attention on what's going on over in the Middle East. I believe the enemy is here. I believe we're heading towards financial disaster. Parting thought, Maria, before we let you go.
Just thank you for doing what you do. That's the beauty of this world of radio that exists now, is that divergent conversations are being allowed and actually encouraged that you don't get with mainstream media, which is one of the reasons I love having my show, is that whatever I feel like, whatever curiosity I have, whatever somebody brings to my attention, we get to explore it. Thank you, Stan.
God bless. Talk to you on Thursday, I think it is. Thanks.
I look forward to it, Stan.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at The Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, The Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Maria. But basically, of course, the government is increasingly telling doctors how to treat their patients. And basically, of course, they will deny that, but it's really, this is the reality of where we stand today. I've seen the total transformation, destruction of the practice of medicine. I mean, from a responsible means of delivering health care to one where a physician charged on my bill for my heart surgery $11,000. I didn't have to pay any of it. In fact, the doctor didn't get anywhere near that much, got a couple of $1,000 for an intricate surgery, which he was well deserved to be paid a couple of $1,000. But he has to bill, if you go into him, he'll have to bill you $11,000 as well. Even though he knows very well that you don't have that money to pay it and your insurance isn't going to do it, this whole thing is totally contrived because government's involvement, and it's all along the path to the destruction of healthcare delivery and the program of euthanasia that they really intend. And if you doubt that there is a population control agenda, that they're withholding effective treatments for cancer, creating new diseases, certainly poisoning our water and poisoning our air and poisoning our food, you need to get my talk on Agenda 21, the covert plan. Agenda 21, the covert plan, or population control, the secret agenda. They're two DVDs well worthwhile watching several times, and they're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we do hope that you'll listen to our radio programs. As you know, we do 5 hours of talk radio every day, and we always have fascinating programs. Most of them are fascinating and excellent speakers, and so you can listen to our programs on the Internet at RadioLiberty.com. If you have a KU band receiver, you can get them off of satellite. You can hear our shortwave program every afternoon. You can listen to our afternoon programs on the telephone if you have a telephone with unlimited minutes. I do what I do because I'm trying to get the information out so you can get educated and you can educate others. But ladies and gentlemen, we're in a real situation today because most people are so interested in football and having a good time and partying and living the good life that they are really unconcerned about the fact that all power is being centralized in government, that we're spending ourselves into oblivion, the whole financial house of cards comes down. Our real national debt is certainly well over $85 to $87 trillion. Our yearly debt is not certainly $3-some trillion. It's closer to $6 trillion. Basically, if you did this thing actuarially sound, taking into account how we're running up the amount of money we're going to have to put out for Social Security and Medicare in future years. And we did it as every corporation must do. Why, the debt, yearly debt would be about $6 trillion. And if we took all the money that everybody earned, why, it wouldn't be enough to pay that. We just, isn't that much money out there? They're intentionally destroying this country, ladies and gentlemen. And while your attention is focused on what's going on in Syria, while we're losing our freedom here at home. Well, I hope you'll accept the ego.